If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Richard Porter.
I'm Johnny Smith.
And this is Smith and Sniff, a podcast in which two friends talk about cars and many other things.
Many.
Hi.
This is
a bit like, weird, isn't it?
It feels like a boardroom meeting. This is just for OnlyFans.
Well, now, yes, for the audio, there's a... So first of all, we're in the room together, which doesn't happen an awful lot.
No.
But we're here at... Bicester Heritage.
Yeah, that's right.
And specifically, we're sitting in what is now the showroom for those little Austin J40 pedal cars.
Yeah.
Which used to be the Singer showroom.
Yeah, I think it did.
And my dog made a terrible mess of their floor once.
You didn't. It didn't.
Not like as in dropped one. It was at the scramble. I brought my dog to a scramble.
Yeah.
I don't really know why. She's not really into cars.
This is a terrible idea.
Yeah, no, she had a nice day. She got fussed over. But it was very wet, like it is today, and her feet got very muddy on the grass. And then...
And she just trashed the floor.
I was walking past here and I saw someone I know, and he went, "Hey, come in." And the guy from Singer was like, "Oh, well, we've met before."
He went, "Come in, not you."
No, he didn't. I was like, "Are you sure the dog's all right in here?" And he went, "Yeah, yeah, of course." And it has a white... floor.
It's white.
And amazingly, I don't know if it still is, Johnny's now going to have a look through the window.
We're in the like an ivory.
Yeah.
Surface of ivory.
The surface was very white and clean. And it's weird. People's shoes, perhaps because people were wiping their feet as they came in, the shoes weren't doing too much damage, but
the dog.
A massive hairy oaf that's like a small polar bear, she left paw prints everywhere. And then I think she was... Someone came to stroke her head and she got a bit excited and she did that full, like, four-wheel traction loss.
Audi.
Yeah, so she did a full, yeah, beide end again.
Yes, both ends going.
Yeah, and I was like, "I'm so sorry." And as I left, one of the more junior members of the Singer team was getting the mop out and I was like, "Oh, God." Anyway, so we're here together in person.
Yeah, but which does rarely happen.
And if you're listening to this in audio, you won't know that there's a big desk fan on a windowsill behind us. If you're one of our patrons, you may be watching this on video because we're shooting this unusually. We don't usually get the chance because we're not usually in the same room.
No.
And yet, here we are.
We just choose not to.
On a very wet day.
Yeah, let me tell you about my journey. It wasn't interesting, but there was one part of it. It wasn't. It really wasn't. It's actually a very shit route from my house to Bicester. Yeah.
I can't think. Where, do you have to go round Birmingham?
No.
Oh.
You
okay.
You go across to Kettering / Northamptonshire, and then you just wiggle across and down and cross and up and cross and down.
It's a bit of an etch-a-sketch route, but you're called this.
It's an actual etch-a-sketch, so you can't get up to any good speed. It's always interrupted by annoying roundabouts.
Mm.
It's just shite. Anyway. That's not the reason for me talking about it. I was behind the Beetle-backed Audi e-tron, which is the sport... Is it the sportback? I actually can't remember. So it's the e-tron, the big e-tron.
Yeah, which is not called the e-tron anymore.
Well, it's not called the French turd.
Yes. Well, no, it is. I think it's... I can't remember. Because they realised all electric cars were going to be called turd, so it's rather than just being the Audi e-tron as a standalone model, it's now the... Q8 e-tron. I think it might be.
Well, anyway, all you need to know is there's two versions of this car, and they have been for several years. One of them's got the more practical bum, and the other one, they're both SUVs, has the Beetleback.
Yes.
You know how fond I am of SUV Beetlebacks.
Yes.
Well, this one, I mean, I was muttering because I was just behind it, just pointing at it, going, "That's just a shit car." But also, I noticed on the tailgate, it had... Do you remember those COVID security tags? Do you remember, did you ever test any cars during off of pandemic?
I don't think I did.
Okay,
no.
Well, when I did, the car would be sealed. The car would be sanitised, and then there'd be a seal put across all of the doors.
Yes, I did see
like a security tag.
Yeah, I saw other car journalists putting this on social media.
And usually a key on a table in a sanitised bag.
Wasn't there one car company was like basically releasing like a sort of smoke bomb inside the car that sort of sanitised everything?
Yeah, that's true.
That was it, Folds or someone. But yeah,
like those aircon bombs that you can buy when you're.
Yes. Beach.
Have you ever tried an aircon bomb?
No.
Shit.
They good?
Yeah. When I first bought our Chrysler 300C Touring.
Yeah.
Sweet car.
Sweet.
I miss that car. I got it home, and because it was a trade, I bought it off of the trade and all that. I've got friends in the trade. Bought it in the trade.
I know a guy.
No warranty given, but obviously trade prices. Right. And I got it home and I thought, I'm going to give it like a bling because I don't know who's driven it. You know, I just want to make it feel fresh. So I bought one of these aircon bombs. I think it was an autoclim one. And read the instructions and set the bad boy going for whatever it is, 10 minutes.
10 minutes?
I think it's 10 minutes idling outside with the con on full.
Right.
And you put this thing in and then you shut the door and you just walk away. And it just looks like someone's let off tear gas, you know, like a canister of tear gas. I thought, well, I hope it actually does clear. There's not like a fault. And it stays like that for half a day.
I bought the one with glitter in it by mistake. Yeah,
damn it! Glitter bomb. That would interrupt with a detailer's OCD.
Oh my God.
A thick pile of black carpet with gold glitter. I said it was going to be a 2-day job. Yeah. It's going to be 2 weeks.
Yeah.
It's going to be 2 weeks.
Actually, just, you know what? Scrap the car. Just going to scrap the car.
I've Stanley knifed all the carpet out.
Yes. It would be easier just to drive it to a lake.
Yeah, but the con bomb went off and then subsided. And then I snuck back. Like, it felt like I was sneaking back to a... to a firework that I'd lit, but I'd left it long enough and gone, it can't go off now. It's been 40 minutes, the firework can't go off. Went back and opened the door, and it smelt like when a builder in the old days goes home, changes, and then goes to the pub. We've talked about this before, extra soapy, fresh soapy odour.
Oh, okay.
Sort of like, you know, remember the smell of talc?
Yes.
So old school leisure centre changing room.
Yes, someone's been
absolutely.
Someone's been matting down their ball sack.
Oh, with the bag has been after absolutely.
A vigorous game of squash. Yeah.
Oh, completely.
Because I have always been intrigued by those con bombs and wanted to do one in my Range Rover because I think sometimes the con's got that sort of. I've changed the air filter and stuff, and it's. But sometimes you just go, ooh, that's got old con smell to it.
Yeah.
So I thought I should get a con bomb and I never have. Maybe I should.
You should. You should.
Are they expensive?
No. I can't remember how expensive they are.
No, they're only 500 quid.
Mind you, since the pandemic, I don't know. They could be 60 quid and they were four.
I just thought, because obviously I've still not sold the Range Rover.
You still looking for people?
Well, we had a couple of listeners who'd seized the initiative and went, yes, but then both of them passed in the end. Well, actually, one of them didn't get back to me. If you're listening and you know who you are, then still for sale. And then I was going to sell it to a mate's sister, and then I said, "Is your sister still interested?" And he went, "She won't get back to you now for about 5 years.
Oh,
she's
gosh.
Just that kind of person."
I've had this selling some electric mopeds just before Christmas, and then I casually put up for sale the wheels on my Beetle after all these years of having those. Period wheels on my Beetle, I thought, I'm going to have a change. Bought a set, but I'm not changing them over until I've sold them. Had someone immediately contact me and go, I'll have them. Yep. And then about 3 weeks later, I just sort of went, well, look, now Christmas is all over and whatnot. When do you want to come and get them? And they were like, yeah, money's a bit tight, so I'm not buying them now. I'm like, oh, great. And then the electric moped people have all gone a bit quiet. So I'm like, but not you, Mark. Mark, you've ordered the broken
Mark,
one.
Okay.
The broken one is still yours.
Yeah.
It's absolutely fine. But the others are still
good. Good on Mark.
So, yeah.
I think I'm going to stick the Range Rover on one of the online auction sites.
Are you?
Yes.
Are you going to? Can you take a picture of you with one leg up on the tire? It has to be on full lock.
Okay. Yeah.
With that jumper on, because is so similar to my jumper.
For the tape, I've come today as Walter Rolneck. as people watching the video will notice, I decided it's a Rolneck kind of day.
Colin Firth.
Yeah.
Very
yeah.
Firth.
I just checked, and by the way, is the Q8 e-tron is now what that bigger electric ID is called, that was once just the e-tron.
Okay.
Do you know what I saw on the way here? Was and you thankfully don't see it around very much, but coming towards me was a current shape BMW X6.
Yeah.
And I realised that from head on, that car looks like an XL Bully.
Oh, yeah.
It's got a flat head.
Yes.
It's got a flat head and an aggressive face.
Yeah.
And it should be banned.
Yeah, it should be. Shouldn't it?
I mean, the dogs, I think, is a mixed bag. You know, if it's well looked after and trained, then it seems a little unfair that these poor dogs are being put down or whatever. But the X6 is an abomination and should be immediately exterminated.
I agree.
Unilaterally.
It's getting worse. And the other thing is I bet every owner will be like an XL Bully owner who goes, they're not that bad, actually. They're actually really good. There's a lot to like about them. And you go, is there though?
No, it's a mutant. It's a status car for people who have something wrong with them.
Yeah.
There's no need. But yeah, it's got a flat head. You know how a lot of those dogs, they have that kind of, like Sam the Eagle out of the Muppet Show, flat head, but not as tall. Yeah. It's got a squashed flat head. And I just thought, oh, it's an XL Bully car.
He's got this that eagle that from the Muppet Show.
Yeah.
It looks exactly the same as the culture reporter from the BBC, who I've forgotten the name of. There's a guy culture who looks reporter. Just like that.
Is there?
He's extremely well read and interesting as a presenter and an interviewer. But all I think about when I see him is that he's the eagle from the Muppet Show. You know, that makes me a terrible human.
No, I mean, people can look like other things, and it's that,
I've
you
been
know,
called all sorts, really.
In sort of families, when you're growing up, you have little sort of family things your parents say, or things that just sort of a family thing. My parents, I think my mum particularly, used to always go when, I don't know, some kind of like moral issues that would come up, she would always do Sam the Eagle. She'd go, standards, Kermit, standards. It's, to this day, I just picture Sam the Eagle. Whenever someone goes, well, it's a bit of a moral conundrum. Standards, Kermit, standards.
Standards.
Speaking of things I saw on the way here as well, or I saw just before I left home, you know, last week, a man in a Kia Sportage gave me a finger pistol to say thank you for letting him through a gap.
Yes.
This morning, driving past my house, I cannot be sure it was the same guy. It was the same coloured Kia Sportage.
Yeah.
Now, this time, he didn't. I was crossing the road, and I thought he looked like he was slowing down to let me cross, but then he didn't. It just carried on. But as the Sportage went past, it had newspapers spread across the dash top.
Oh, what to absorb moisture? Or?
I don't know. It was a brand new Sportage. It's the current shape.
Is he? I know what he's doing. he drives fast the back lanes to work, but he eats a really messy probiotic yogurt or overnight oats.
It's for you.
An overnight oating when you're on it on a B road is a really bad idea. I've not done it.
I can't figure it out, because apart from anything else, you think they just slide around a lot and be really annoying.
Mm.
But why would you sort of throw... It looked, at a glance, I couldn't really tell for sure, but it looked like a sort of multi-sectional paper, so probably the Sunday paper.
A weekender, yeah.
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 And, you know, they are many-sectioned, and it can be quite hard to get through it all in one go. But why throw them on the dashboard of your car? I don't understand. It was puzzling.
You've reminded me of a lot of the barn finds that I do on the Late Break Show. You find paraphernalia in cars that have been sat for a long time.
Mm.
And I've bought cars that have been sat that have just bits and bobs in the boot. You often find an old newspaper. And it's actually fascinating.
Yeah, I love finding an old newspaper.
But we're in the decline of newspapers now, so...
Yeah, I found an old internet under the sea. Look at that.
But we don't... People haven't got that joy of opening up an old local, it's usually a
local paper,
and seeing classifieds.
Because that's the thing, a local paper probably in the back has got adverts from local car dealers, and you can go, bloody hell, you could buy an Escort for £700, and it was only 2 years old, because it was the late 70s.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
And somebody found on Twitter recently, though, an advert for a... It was a car washing machine which you could order.
I saw this. Yeah.
That you could put in your own carport. I think this would have been 70s, maybe 80s, early 80s. And it was called The James.
Oh, yes.
And it had a really odd name. Like, why would you
strange
call
name.
A car washing machine, like with jets overhead. You know, like imagine a spray bar that goes around like a lowercase
That's what
bend.
It was, wasn't it? Yeah,
a spray bar setup.
It looked like one of those ones they used to wash trains.
Yeah.
Or buses, actually. They do a lot of them with buses, don't they? Just driving through.
But in your own carport.
I saw you put this on social media, didn't you? I saw somebody put, I don't think it's a good idea to put your car away wet.
No.
Which is fair enough, unless you ran it as you backed out, perhaps.
Unless right. It's a drive-through. You've got to have a completely open carport.
most carports sort of aren't.
I've got a carport and I love it.
But there's a wall at one end, sure.
Yeah, there is. It's a garage at the other
end. Okay, yeah, that's the lost art of the carport.
Dude, the carport's great because you can do bits and bobs and leave knickknacks in there. And even if it's torrential pissing rain like it is today, it's okay. It's just fine. Even when you return a parcel, like I did the other day, and I was very pleased with myself because I put these things off, and I get the returns little form and print it out, and then it will sit there for another 8 days because I'm a complete flute.
Yes.
And then I'll think, no, I've got to send it off because it's been 8 days since I printed the thing off.
Yeah.
And I'll send it off. And in the case of this one, it got sent back to me.
But because you put your address on it by mistake?
No, or? I printed, because I did the online form where it only sends it to them, because it was a free returns thing.
Yeah.
And it went to me. Took 5 days. It took five
days.
So
it didn't go to them and then back to you?
It went to the local post office, you know, every collection.
Right,
dude.
And then he just sent it back to you.
And I saw him bleep the QR code. So I thought, and I got a little receipt to say, it's been dispatched.
It's been dispatched.
Out of your hands now.
To you.
And then 5 days later it goes, hey, I had a thing from Every going, hey, your parcel's coming. And I'm like, I haven't ordered anything in the house. And then it's like a boomerang parcel.
That's. Have you got rid of it now?
No, or is it still? It's at home. I'm really pissed off.
That's. Yeah, I think you just keep it. Whatever it is, just keep it now.
This is the sign of a hapless hoarder. Just won't return things because it's too much annoyance.
Yes, I would. Well, yes,
we've all done it.
I know. Sometimes I'm just too lazy to do these things, and then you go.
And you end up with that suit that's three sizes too big, and you just wear it.
It's fine. One of the kids will grow into it in 10 years' time. It'll be okay, just because I was too feckless and lazy to go to the post office.
I've accidentally ordered 4 pairs of high-tech Silver Shadows in 4 different sizes,
all of which are wrong.
And I just thought, you know what? They'll come fine. Good.
We could
use
some for other things.
I wear mountaineering socks with that pair. Yeah. I'll scrunch my toes up.
It's fine. I'll get the use out of them.
Toe fists.
I was talking about this with someone the other day about how my boy will suddenly go, my shoes hurt. You'll go, oh, you're outgrowing another pair of shoes, and then you'll find that he's been walking around with toe fists for.
He walks around with his feet clenched.
Well, he has done. It's just, but then, yeah. I think I think he's inherited my extreme lazy gene, and he just goes, I can't be bothered to mention that my shoes are too small. I'm not sure.
Oh, God.
I was looking at my notes, things I've written down, and there's something that. I can't remember writing this.
Do you know what? I don't even know what I don't think I've written down anything.
I've written down in my notes, how do we feel about mismatched front and rear wheel styles? Why did I write that? Maybe I'd seen a Porsche 911 ST from the early 70s. Remember those?
As in staggered.
Do you remember the 911 ST?
Yeah.
They wanted to put wider rear wheels on it, but they couldn't get the Fuchs alloys in that width, so they stuck mini lights on the back, but they decided to stick with the Fuchs on the front, and that's how they came, and that's how people now often do sort of resto mod 911s.
Yeah, and they do look good on mini lights, actually.
They do look good on mini lights, and I don't mind that look, because it's sort of very authentic, and there's a backstory to it for the real STs.
Motorsport vibe.
But I saw, maybe I wrote this down, I think I must have written this when I was out walking the dog. I saw a Toyota Aygo that at a glance appeared to have matching alloy wheels on it. And then I didn't go around the other side to check, but
too lazy.
It
means you've got to walk around. Yeah, wouldn't do that.
The front wheel actually was a very similar but not identical alloy off, I think, a Yaris. And I was going like, oh, now I've noticed that. That's just annoying. I couldn't live with that.
Yeah. I don't mind custom cars, you know, really individualised cars with different wheels. I've even seen different designs of wheels on the offside and the near side, you know, so you're driving one way and it's got Fuchs, for example, and you drive the other way and you go, oh, it's got cookie cutters.
Ah.
I'm kind of all right with that.
That's quite interesting in a way.
I went through a phase in my life, not for very long, just want to add that, where I wore different shoes on different feet at the same time. I wish I hadn't said that out loud now.
I tried that. I had two pairs of Converse All-Stars in different colours, and I tried wearing one from one pair and one from the other. Mm. People comment on it a lot, and I realised that maybe I looked like a bit of a div, so I didn't.
Yeah, I think I might have been a bit of a glistening bell, so I think I stopped that.
There's a risk it just looks like you've
got dressed in
the
dark.
Yeah, got dressed in the dark. Which it happens.
Which is, totally understandable.
So, yeah.
So I'm down with that. But what you just said reminded me, actually, that... I can't remember if I said it, but did I say anything about the Dacia Spring last
podcast? No, you couldn't, because it was under embargo. It's now not, is it?
It's been released. It's not. It's been released into the wild. Mm. I told you about the hubcaps, didn't I?
Now, did we talk about that on the podcast or in real life?
I can't remember.
It's blur between the two.
But if I talked about it last podcast, I'm so sorry. I'm an absolute imbecile.
I think you told me this when we weren't recording because you didn't want to talk about the spring. Okay. Because it was under embargo.
Well, if that's the case, and I hope that's the case, all I say is the Dacia Spring is now available in the UK. It's probably the UK's cheapest electric car. I did a walk around video of it, which is now on the Late Break Show channel. But what interested me was the fact that you can't buy it with alloy wheels.
You did mention that, yes. Yeah, I think on the podcast, which is interesting.
And it looks so good without hubcaps on.
Yeah.
And I took a pair of hubcaps off. I asked the designer to take the hubcaps off. I don't think he was offended either. I think he was cool with it.
I saw that picture you sent me of it. We'll stick it on the Patreon.
Yeah, and it looked good.
Without the caps on it.
Yeah.
Now, I'm in an interesting situation because I realised that my Tesla has wheel trims.
Yes, it does.
Those are not alloys. They are plastic trims. I think they're alloys underneath. They must be because they're quite spoky.
That's right. Within the sort of inserty kind of aero caps.
Yeah. Now, within the, as you can imagine, very active Tesla community...
You're saying Tesla, I've noticed.
I am trying hard to say it now. And then I keep confusing myself and going, is that the right one? I can't remember.
And you always insert the year of the car.
Oh, 24, it's a 24 it is. Yeah, and, okay. But the wheels underneath are quite nice, I think.
They are.
And some people, for that reason, take the plastic caps off, buy centre caps, which you can do for the alloys, and run them like that. And I'm sort of... tempted, but apparently it knocks a little bit off your range.
It will probably knock a few miles off, but ultimately, if it looks good... The other thing is, if you're leasing it, I know some people that take all the hubcaps off and just put them in a bag under the stairs in case one of them gets damaged or
That actually the plastic... I mean, you know, we all try our best not to curb wheels because I hate curved wheels, but yeah, accidents do happen.
But a curbed hubcap, Rich...
That's awful, but at least it's relatively cheap to buy a new one.
Yeah.
And if it's a lease car, you can send it back with... Whereas, you know, repairing an alloy is a little bit more complex. And so, I don't know.
Look at the size. It's a minor different problem. To those of you listening and not viewing this, we've parked our cars right outside. And I'm in the Honda Insight, and Rich is in his Tesla...
24
Tesla Y. And the size difference is... I mean, they're both aero-optimised vehicles...
Inside looks a lot more aero-optimized from here because it's tiny.
Well, inside is shaped like a Chris Boardman cycling helmet from the 90s. Do you remember the teardrop aerodrome cycling helmet? That's what it reminds me of.
Was that designed by Lotus?
I think it was, actually.
I think it might have been. The bike was, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Maybe the helmet, because they'd done it as a package, wouldn't they? Got him in the tunnel with the bike and in the wind tunnel.
With a tapered bum. It's a tapered bum car.
It's a very tapered bum car, and the wheel spats as well.
See, I wonder if a Tesla with spats would work. I've thought about this a few times.
Why do more people, particularly in the EV age, not fit rear wheel spats?
I don't know. I think that there's some spat racism about. I honestly think we could be in an era of spat racism.
Spatted.
There was a racist spat.
Yeah. Because they look quite cool. I mean, you know, your car looks cool with those. Old Citroens look cool with rear wheel arch spats. And the VW XL1 looks cool with rear wheel arch spats.
It draws you in.
You didn't reply. I, not to wank on about Teslas again, but I have just been driving the new Model 3 because I was asked to review it for the Sunday Times. So I had that parked on my drive, and I did this thing. I was just, logistics were all over the shop. They have been this month because I've been back and forth to London and all sorts. And
London,
leafy London. Well, not leafy London, because I went to the Tesla PR man said, it was a long story, but basically he said, yeah, you can borrow the car this week. And I was like, oh, I won't be at home, because he was going to drop it off.
Yeah.
I'll be in London. He went, oh, we're in London. Why don't you come and collect it from our Brent Cross delivery centre where people go and pick up their new cars?
Yeah.
You can leave your car here, take that one away, yeah, and then do a switcheroo.
Did he not refer to it as Hamburg Airport in James Bond GoldenEye?
No, he didn't, disappointingly. It's not in that bit of the car park as well, annoyingly. Shame. It's in the really gloomy bit near the flyover.
Yes, I know the gloomy
people bit. Who know the deeply unsexy Brent Cross shopping centre in North London. It's right by the big flyover that goes over by the by the shopping centre, but by there's that big car park they often put a fairground in.
I was just about to say the Funfair car park.
Yeah,
this
it's
is
not
interesting,
that.
Isn't
it's
it?
It's fascinating. This yes, is a really say, if you live in Auckland, you're going, what the merry fuck is
it's
this?
It's not even interesting. Like, you wouldn't even come here if you were a visitor to the UK. You wouldn't even go to Brent Cross.
No, but you might see it if you had to drive around the North Circular Road. Anyway, it's not a nice environment in which to hang about, but it is where you go if you buy a Tesla in London to pick up your car.
Yeah.
And that's where I went and picked up the Model 3. And then the PR guy, very nicely, he said, because I was like, oh, I won't be back in London until like the following week. He was like, it's fine, keep it. So I had it for almost a couple of weeks. When I returned it, he wasn't there. He doesn't work there all the time.
Yeah.
And I just went into the sort of office bit where they hand over people's new cars and said, hi, I'm returning the Model 3 press car. And the guy went, what? I said, I'm returning that Model 3 press car there for the PR guy's name. And he went, oh, okay. And I went, and that's my Model Y over there. And he's like, great, okay. And I was like, so, cheers. And he's like, yeah, okay, take care, bye-bye.
Oh, wow.
And then I was driving home and I suddenly thought, that all felt a bit unstructured. Hope he doesn't accidentally sell the press car. And then the PR guy will turn up and go, right, just here to pick up the... You've done what? Because it's just, yeah, I just like, I don't, I feel like I haven't
imagine
explained
they sold
enough.
Your car.
Well, I didn't leave them the key to my car.
Ah, good.
Key card.
Good.
So that they, which I was going to and then I didn't.
See, that's why I would always tactically turn up in a sort of maybe slightly broken Fiat Panda 100 horsepower. Yeah. Because they go, well, clearly that's not a Tesla. So I'm
going to
sell that.
I haven't done a Panda update for a while because I've really driven the Panda because I can't. You remember I was on the phone to you and I decided to go and try and start it because I assumed the battery was flat and it wasn't.
Yeah, it was fine.
But it was very, very snowy and icy and it wouldn't defrost because, as it turns out, the fucking heater doesn't work again.
Again?
So I don't know what to do. I've got to get it back to the garage so they can have a look at it because they've obviously replaced the engine. It maybe just got
an airlock. Or a... Yeah.
I don't know, but I'm just out of sight, out of mind. It's literally parked round the corner, so I can't see it. I need to. But then tomorrow is Range Rover MOT day. So while I'm up at the garage doing that, well, I'm not doing it.
Well,
the garage thing, I'm going to ask him if he can look at the Panda.
If it makes you feel any better, my ghetto Boxster is misfiring.
Oh.
And it's fine because I think it's a call pack. Okay. I had a printed sheet of advisories when I had it all checked for the service. They're sort of like green, amber and red warnings and stuff. There was an amber next to the call pack saying several are corroded / hairline cracked, because they get all the road cack in them. So I started up one day and it just didn't quite sound right. It was stumbling a little bit. I'm like, right, clearly a call pack. But I'm this weekend, well, the weekend that this podcast goes out, it's a treat to myself. I'm going to replace the call packs on my Boxster.
Oh.
Yeah, in a barn on my knees.
In a barn?
Well, I haven't got a garage, so...
What about the carport?
Yeah, actually, I could do it in the carport, but I like lots of side access, and that carport won't give me that. Yeah. I like to sit back from my work and really...
Is there And underpan on those Boxsters beneath the engine, or is it exposed?
It has an exposed sump, but on the Boxster, and again, this is really fascinated podcast shit.
I'm going to go back to talking about Brent Cross in a minute.
It's not that big a job to do, which is why I'm sort of drawn to try it. You jack the car up, put it on axle stands, take the wheels off, then in the inner wings, there's a little plastic cover, which is one bolt or maybe two, and then you can see a bank of three on each side. So it's actually really easy.
It's almost like they thought of this.
Yeah, you just got to take the wheels off. If you don't take the wheels off, you'll be doomed. But
unless you miss the tickle.
Yeah, and my brother was like, why don't you just like do what normal people do and get it plugged into a laptop and it will say, that call pack's the bastard, everyone else's. And I went, do you know what? It says they're all a level of corrosion. Mm. So I'm just going to replace them all, and then I'm going to do what my dad would do and inspect each one.
Yeah.
And if some of them are good, I'll put them back in the box.
Yes.
Put them in the boot.
For spares.
And one day it'll start missing, or I'll go to a Boxster Stroker event.
Yeah.
And I'll
help out.
And someone in the car park will go, I've got a misfire. And I'll go, don't you worry, mate.
You'll be out and about somewhere one day, and you'll see a Cayman with its hazards on, and you'll be like, stand back. Fellow mid-engine Porsche owner is in trouble.
Do you know what I'll do? I will call myself the Coil Pack Samaritan. And I will...
So, because do you have a Obladi Obada reader?
Yeah.
So you could do a check on which one's gone.
I think so, yeah.
Is it that?
Porsche systems they're a bit more complex than others. But yeah, I could do it.
Okay.
But I just thought I'll go old school and go, do you know what? Because my videographer, Phil, who you know is a wonderful guy, does exceptionally high mileages in his Mazda 6 estate.
Yeah.
Again, interesting podcast. I still think this is just stupid. He ordered a set of three tyres last week. He said, I've got a new set of tyres going on, three though. And I went, three? Why three? He went, well, the other one I only bought like, I don't know, 8 weeks ago. And I went, but like...
Okay.
Why don't you buy four identical wheels, tyres, and then get them to give you that one, put it in the garage, because you're guaranteed to get a puncture in the next 3 months.
Yeah.
And he went, oh yeah. He went, well, it's done now though, isn't it? And I can't bear it.
No, I can't. That's making me very...
I'm such a pedant. I'm like going, but the thing is you know that one at the back there is not the matching one on the other ones. It's not the same age. And
I got distracted there because I can see through. There's an internal window to an external window, and I just saw an ID Buzz van go past.
Sweet cargo
here within Bicester. I have got an ID Buzz press car coming. I'm going to drive to Scotland in it for our live show.
Do you know what? I think I'm driving to our live show in a Tesla.
Are you?
I think so.
Which sort?
Well, I don't know because the email should be through any minute, and I'm not checking my emails while I'm doing a podcast because that's unpro.
Yeah.
But I'm going to... You bastard. But I'm either going to do it in a Tesla 24, obviously.
24. Maybe it's the one that I borrowed if I haven't sold it by accident.
Well, there's a
distinctive sound of scaff being dropped. Don't know if that picked up on the mic, but...
I sometimes wish I could do like a work experience as a scaffer.
Do you?
Yeah, there's been some scaff going on the road next to my house, and I've walked by a few times. Those guys move some weight in a day.
Yes, they do.
They move.
Oh, you'd be in incredible shape.
Yeah, I would. And that's the only reason why I would do it.
I'm pretty certain I would grievously injure myself as a scaffolder within the first week. I'm slightly scared of scaffolding.
Are you?
The scaffolding poles.
Oh, poles, yeah.
I'm scared of walking past scaffolding being dismantled that one of the scaffolders will accidentally drop a pole onto me.
Yeah.
Vertically downwards. So, you know, it could sort of spear through the top of my head.
Really?
Yeah. So I'll look like a horrible lollipop. Yeah.
That's so odd, Rich.
When they're
that's
taking them to the lorry, so I'm always a bit scared that they're going to do a full kind of like 70s Eric Sykes comedy
sweet
turn and twat me in the side of the head.
If there's a scaff lorry at the side of the road with the hazards on and they're loading it, I always keep an eye out in case one geezer walks out into the road and does the full swing.
Again.
Takes your windscreen or your A-pillar.
Yeah, I have that fear.
Imagine the A-pillar kink. I'm not bothered about garrotting myself. I'm bothered about A-pillar kink.
Well, someone I know, a relative of my sister-in-law's, was one of the first people to get a Range Rover Evoque when they came out in, whenever that was, 2000 and something.
13? Was it 2013?
I think it might have been a bit earlier than that. I think we're talking like 11.
10?
Yeah, 10, maybe 10. And very proud of their brand new Evoque.
Yeah.
With, at the time, still, I suppose, a little bit of a novelty, the pano roof option.
Yeah. Ooh. Sweet.
And they'd not had it many weeks when they were having some scaffolding put up or taken down at their house.
Oh, shit.
Scaff pole, poof, through the pano vertical roof of the Evoque. Yeah. At which point, the Evoque, huge demand, and you could not get a replacement pano roof for love nor money. And that car was out of action for, I think, quite a few months.
Whoa.
Yeah. Which I think other members of the wider family were quite amused by, because they'd been boasting about their Evoque a lot and then couldn't drive it.
The scaff company.
The scaff through the roof, yeah. So that's why. I mean, I know I have regular listeners to this podcast will know I have various unreasonable fears, including one about a bird flying into my temple.
Your temple. I still think that's so
but
specific.
I think these are not... These are not scaffolding poles in some way hurting me or my car.
I occasionally dream about weeing and then wake up quickly to check that I wasn't weeing. But that's nowhere near a bird beat to the temple.
That's level. I have that as a low-level fear that one day I'll just have a... Yeah. Do you ever also have that terrible fear that one day you'll have like a massive daydream and you'll think you're weeing in a loo, but actually you're just weeing in a library or a branch of W.H. Smith's or something, and you'll get arrested. No?
No, I haven't had
that. There's like some kind of brain trauma where you're hallucinating wildly.
I once weed in a cupboard in a pub the first time I drank illegally in a pub. I told you about that, didn't
no.
I?
No.
That's just what's reminded me. So we had our fake IDs out. By the way, if anyone's listening, this is not a recommended thing to do. I'm not saying you should try this at all.
Do kids still...
No, kids don't go out drinking.
No, don't
really. No, they just all vape at home. Mm. So we went to the pub. We picked a pub that we thought we had a fair chance of underage drinking in. We all had our fake IDs.
Mm.
We got in there and it was reasonably busy, which made me nervous. I ordered a tray of cider, got through, got cleared, took the tray to the table, and I don't know, three more of the same later, things were going well.
Ooh.
But of course, then, no one had tapped us on the shoulder and gone, are you actually 18?
Yeah.
We were 15 or 16. But then I was like, I need the toilet. And my friend had already gone. I'd seen him go down the side of the pub. And I'd
just to be clear, you'd had 4 pints of cider and you had yet to visit the loo.
3 pints and I hadn't broken the seal.
I mean, that's... Okay, well, no, I couldn't do that now. I'm not sure I could have done it then.
Well, I think it was just the fear factor. Mm. But I didn't know where the lav was. So I'd seen my mate go down this corridor. So I said, oh, I need a WAS. Where is it? And he went, oh, it's down there on the left. And I went, okay, cool. So I started walking down there on the left. And there were no lights on.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
And I just thought, oh, maybe it's just a bit further. So I went a bit further and it became incredibly dark. And I thought, I don't want to go and ask the bartender or anything.
No, don't draw attention to yourself. No.
And there's just a door with nothing on it. So I just opened the door and it was pitch black. So I just went in. I went in and shut the door.
Oh my god!
I just went in and shut the door and thought, just get this done. I don't know where what this room is.
Just get this so done.
I just forced out the fastest piss I could.
But into the void. You don't know what's there. It could have been a prize collection of first edition Dickens novels or something.
What was there? And then I opened the door to leave. I thought, I've got to get out of here quickly, just in case. And as I did, someone else was coming and a light went on. And I saw, as the door was closing, just a chink of light went through. And it was the cleaning cupboard. It was
of course.
I just pissed all over the mop, the buckets, the cleaning equipment. I just pissed on the cleaning equipment in the pub. Like a proper one-minuter as well.
Wow.
Yeah. But I went back to my... to the table with the boys, looking quite sort of stressed.
Yeah.
And they were like, did you find it? I went, no.
No.
I didn't. No.
I mean, you're yes and no.
And then it was like, so what did you do? Yeah. And I went,
it's a good two-stage question. Did you find the loot? No. Did you have a wee? Yes. Okay.
So, yeah, not proud of it. But and they went, well, why don't you just keep going on? Because it's pitch dark. I couldn't work out where I was. Anyway, shout out to the Rising Sun in Bagborough. I don't actually think you're called that anymore. I think you're a different pub name, but you were great back in the day.
Back in the day.
You were great. And really lovely vista, actually. When you come out of the pub, it's on a big hill. A hard hill to cycle up. Much easier if you're illegally riding a Honda Cub 70, I found, with no helmet. But anyway.
Wow. Two of our prime underage drinking spots have been demolished now. I feel like it's quite sad.
So a historic pub gone?
Yeah. The Rifleman's Arms in Wilmslow and the Royal Oak in Audley Edge.
Both dead.
Raised to the ground. New houses or flats on them now.
Oh, that is a shame.
Do you ever... I don't know. Again, this would be described as like main character syndrome or something that I'm putting... It's incredibly self-important, but I feel like my personal history is being demolished behind me. Because Andre's drinking pub's demolished.
Yeah.
Place I used to work, BBC Pebble Mill, demolished.
Yeah.
Next in Wilmslow, not Next in Wilmslow anymore, still there, but it's a different shop. Yeah. They've completely reconfigured it.
Hang on a minute, are you thinking that your life deserves to be preserved behind
you? Well, I know, it's the thing, it's incredibly egocentric, but it's just the fact that, you know, and my our family home from growing up,
yeah,
completely redone.
Remodeled.
It doesn't look like the same house. They've, for some inexplicable reason, they've rendered the outside, so it doesn't look like it was brick before. It's, you know, brick 50s house.
And it's quite annoying.
Well, it's just the kind of... It's like I'm being deleted from history. Except I'm not. I'm still here, wanking on. But
you're building history now.
I know. But
it's fucking cast.
I just need to warn other places that I've worked that they're going to be demolished at some point. Because
if someone makes you an offer you can't refuse, refuse it.
Yeah. Well, that's it, I suppose. Where? No, I other... Well, I don't know, actually. I don't know about all the houses and flats that I've lived in. But
so any car you ever sell from now on, you're going to put a caveat on it and go, this must not get scrapped. And if you decide to sell it, it has to go back to me. I want a boomerang car. It has to keep coming back.
Well, I put the reg of my first car, my Ford Ka, into the DVLA checker.
Yeah.
I assumed it had been scrapped because it's a car. It was from 96, 97. So it must have rotted away by now, surely.
And it hasn't.
Well, no, it doesn't come up. You know, even when a car's been scrapped, usually it still just hangs around on that DVLA site. I mean, you can look up cars from the 70s and they're still on there. It'll just say, no tax, no MOT.
Yeah.
And date of last logbook, and you get, you know, you can pretty quickly. So I've done it for like my parents' old cars, and they're still popping up on there, but they're pretty obviously been long binned.
What?
But my first car.
Can you share the reg?
P858PDB.
Say that once more for people who are slow like me.
Papa, Eta, Fiver, Eta, Papa, Delta, Bravo.
I do this now.
What?
And I feel this is another thing that I feel like I've become very dad about.
What, the NATO alphabet?
Postcodes said over the phone.
Yes.
Can I just take your postcode, please, sir? Yeah, you can.
I like doing it, though, because it makes you feel like you're an air traffic controller or a fighter pilot.
Yeah, and especially if there's an S in there. I used to have one with an S in, but then you'd say Sierra.
Oh, God, yeah.
So
yeah.
Instantly, reference to car, tick, brilliant, great.
We never talked about this on the podcast, because I had this thought that how many...
Just on cue, we've got a police siren in the background, which is a very, very police way of addressing things, isn't it?
Yes, it is, yeah. How many cars are named after letters of the NATO alphabet? Alpha. I mean, spelled differently, but Alpha was also, or is also the name of a GM platform. It's the one that's under those rear drive Cadillacs. And the latest Camaro as well. So and Alpha, Beta... No, hang on. NATO is Bravo, isn't it?
I think it's Bravo,
so
isn't it?
So Fiat Bravo.
Yes.
C for... This is when, you know, you're doing the thing on the phone and you're trying to spell something.
I'm terrible.
You go,
I always get one wrong.
Caterpillar.
Yeah.
C for Caterpillar. Cauliflower. Cottage cheese.
It's always N or something. And I go, Nigel. And there's a pause on the other line. And you go, so N. Yes. N for Nigel.
C. Charlie.
Yeah, Charlie.
Charlie. I don't think there's a car called the Charlie. Maybe there should be. It's quite a good name. Charlie's a good name, isn't it?
But it would be Charli.
Yes.
It'd be like a
special edition Citroen Saxo.
It'd be a Citroen, wouldn't it?
Why hasn't there been a Saxo Charlie?
I can imagine a Fiat Charlie.
So no Charlie. Delta, obviously.
There's been a Honda Charlie, which is a scooter, moped.
Oh,
Charlie's not quite Charlie, but will we let it off in this context?
Yeah.
Okay.
So Lancia Delta... Toyota Echo.
Yeah, they were crap.
Foxtrot.
VW Fox.
Yes.
Will we allow that? Minus the trot.
I'm going to be quite firm.
It was a trot of a car.
Yeah, so Foxtrot. Gammon. What's G? Golf. Hey, see, that's the thing. Yeah. I was mentally running through this a while ago and I thought almost every letter in the NATO alphabet has a
H Hotel.
No. Vauxhall Hotel.
Is I Indigo?
Is it Hotel? It is, isn't it?
That is Hotel. Yeah.
What a weird one. It's such a pedestrian word compared to all...
You would not call...
Delta.
Dodge called a car the Caravan, which I always thought was quite hilarious.
Yeah.
They could have called it the Dodge Hotel.
Well, that'd be the camper version, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Why is it
not? Would. Okay, it would.
H-I Indigo.
I went past... The other part of my dismal journey this morning, I pulled up at the lights near Silverstone Porsche.
Ah.
And Porsche, depending on you. And there was a VW caddy van that was either a small camper or a mobility access vehicle. I couldn't quite tell because it was very funky and new. Mm. It was called the Vista.
Ah.
And it had those bubble finish... holographic decals on it.
Oh, bubble finish.
Yeah, really pronounced. Yeah, and I thought, it had big glass, but they were all tinted out, so that's why I couldn't tell if it was a camper or not. And I thought, if that was mine, I'd have to add piss to that.
Going into Alfred's going,
yeah.
Right, I need four letters. Papa, Indigo, Sierra, Sierra.
It was like, why are you going to call your car the special piss edition? I'm like, I am, actually.
I am, because I want to.
But imagine a camper van that's called the Piss Vista.
Well,
it's actually really
you could then just stop anywhere and have a quick wee and a sleep.
I'm in the Cairngorms. I've picked an amazing place to overnight in my camper van. I am absolutely going to point and shoot.
Well, of course.
At the hills.
Yeah. I was going to bring up that message I sent you last night late on, but I don't think it's a very savoury topic.
I liked that one. I thought that was good. It's a very unsafe place to go.
I was in London and I'd gone out for dinner with an old friend of mine who loves wine and is a real connoisseur of wine and food. So we ate and drank well and he sort of chose a wine off the wine list. And I was absolutely stuffed and a bit drunk and I got on the train home.
And?
But I had to use the facilities.
Was it the really slow revealing door?
No, it was a manual door, but it was the one in first class. Because I thought I was going to miss the train. So you know when you do that thing, you're dashing down the platform, it's just like, go in the first door and then walk down inside the train.
Yes.
So I didn't have a first class ticket, but I thought, I'll just get in first class and then I'm safe. That's it.
Yeah.
And then, but then I was like, I've really got to take care of something before I go to my seat. And so I just dived into the one in first class and it didn't have the powered door, thank God.
Yeah, I hate the powered
door. But it did have, it's still where you just go, you're like, is that locked?
Yeah, it's the mistrust area.
Is it? I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But I don't want to, and then of course the train pulled out of the station because I just made it.
Oh.
And that's just not enjoyable when you're in a windowless, small
But I've had room. An aeroplane turbulence wee, and it's...
Oh, God.
A really difficult task.
Yeah.
You have to wedge... You have to wedge your shoulder and your head up against the side of the... Because it's like a tapering roof, yes. on memory of the aeroplane.
Yeah, that one, so yeah.
You have to wedge your head and then lock one knee out, whichever is your dominant knee, and just try and get the angle. And after all of this, I thought, I should have just sat down for this one, but it never occurred to me at the time.
If you're going to do a sit-down wee as a man, an aeroplane is a good place to do it, for safety reasons.
From now on.
A train as well, because a standing wee on a... That, you know, a lot of train tracks are a bit wobbly, aren't they?
But a train toilet has such high traffic.
Yeah.
And I was talking to my brother last night about high foot traffic carpet patterns, because we are rock and roll. And he said, well, yeah, what, like a cinema? I said, yeah.
Yes.
Strategic swirls and patterns so that you don't know if somebody's sort of like dropped a chocolate ice cream or a dog has done something appalling.
Yeah.
And it's like a magic eye, but for terrible carpet and fitting. And I said, it's the same in rented static caravans. They always have strategic high arse traffic fabric on all of the sofas. You'd never choose it. You'd never go, I like that, let's have all of that, and with the cushions to match. You wouldn't.
But for practical reasons, you're right.
High arse traffic fabric.
Well, I suppose it's a cousin of like public transport seating, like you've got in your...
The old Marquette.
Tube train.
Yeah.
Because that has to be... I mean, the arse traffic on an average bus or tube or train seat is...
And yeah, that's why that Marquette is so robust.
I've been... going back and forth to London quite a lot these past few weeks.
You've mentioned it possibly
just,
4 times.
Yeah, I know. Sorry, I just did. But
London.
It's not interesting particularly, except that I've mostly been getting the train. I drove once.
Yeah.
Twice, if you count going back to give back that Tesla that they may have sold accidentally.
Yeah.
And I've realised, it's taken me a while to cotton on to this, that, I don't know if any of the other people are familiar with the Great Western line between Paddington and Bristol, and it goes on down to the... So it's gone down to Cornwall, I think,
doesn't it?
South Wales.
GWR, yeah.
Yeah, GWR line, you know, with those trains. I can't remember what class they are or what thing. The standard class seats are, in fact, fucking uncomfortable. They're really bad seats. You get a terrible numb coccyx.
Yeah.
And last night, full of delicious tapas and wine, as I was, I realised I'd taken care of my business. I went and sat in a seat and I was watching something on my iPad, got my headphones in, and I was very relaxed. But I realised I was very uncomfortable, and I ended up just sort of sprawling across two seats, like kind of to the point that I found sort of, you know, when you, like, it's like when you find an incredibly comfortable position in bed suddenly.
Oh, I love that.
It's great, isn't it? When it just all clicks into place.
Yeah, love that.
Possibly literally at our age. And I was sort of sprawled, and I was like, I've achieved comfort.
Yeah.
But it wasn't long before we arrived in Bath/Bath, and I was like, oh shit, I've got to get up. And there was a brief moment in my slightly pissed mind where I was like, oh fuck it, I just won't get off.
Where would you end up? In
Bristol?
Penzance?
No, this was a Bristol train. So Bristol, that's still an unexpected cab ride home. I mean, Penzance would be...
Tragic. Yeah.
That would be a hotel.
I've done it. Not to Penzance, but I've gone to Castleford or Doncaster before.
Doncaster?
Yeah.
When you should have been getting off at...
Peterborough.
Oh my God.
There's quite a difference.
And then what do you do?
You wait for the train to come back the other way.
Was this late at night?
This was fairly late. Was
a drink been taken?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a do in London.
Oh,
I'm mentioning London now.
Yeah.
It was a do in London, and I thought, oh, I'll be fine. And that's why I quite like falling asleep on the train going into London.
There's nowhere to go.
Because it stops at King's Cross. And that's good.
Yeah.
But yeah, the other way, dangerous game.
No, I can't risk it. It has crossed my mind in the past to set an alarm on my phone for the time that I know the train's going to be approaching. But I've never done it.
Yeah,
I've gone for the I'll be fine strategy. But last night, thinking about it, I found comfort. I'd had some delicious red boots.
I've got this image of you.
I was just like fully sort of sprawling. And I thought...
Like a coach driver on a long journey who's just sort of like locking himself out
in
this seat a little bit. I'm trying to emulate
big ears. A big sprawl. It was like, for the purposes of the video, people watching the video, it was a full, I was at a torso angle, probably about 45 degrees.
Wow.
And it was a very quiet train, thankfully. And
yeah.
I was in not a table seat, but, you know, just a two airline seats.
Yeah.
So I couldn't really be seen. But I thought if anyone can see me, they'd probably think, what a flute.
Well, you just look like a drunk man who's had a yes, heavy business say,
yes, look.
Fully out of control.
Look at that drunk middle-aged man. Guilty as charged. It was my mate I went out with. It's not that he's also a real connoisseur of food and wine and things. It's also that he is absolutely match fit when it comes to having a boozy dinner on a weeknight, because he has to do it a lot with his job, I think. So
is he Tiff Nadell?
He's not. No.
Tiffany's very match fit when it comes to...
He is, isn't he?
A rich dinner followed by rich wine. I would have thought he'd be just fine.
Yes. Oh, God, yeah. I haven't seen Tiff for ages.
I spoke to him on the phone a couple of days ago.
Did you?
Fantastic.
Was it a long call?
No, because he said, I'm picking up, but I've got a podcast that commences in 7 minutes.
Oh.
Exactly. You've got 7 minutes, Johnny. And I went, okay. Hey, Tiff. Brilliant. Hi, Tiff. Good to speak to you.
Whose podcast is he doing?
He does a podcast. He was, I think he was appearing on Fueling Around.
Ah.
With Jason Potato and,
Dave.
And Dave. Yeah. Yeah.
You've done that.
Yeah.
I've done that.
Yeah, he's sweet. Good podcast. Sweet, sweet guys.
I heard you on that. What's that podcast you just did?
Of The Road to Success.
Yes. But is that in a van?
Yeah, they've got their own podcast van.
I can't believe they've got a van.
Fully insulated, incredibly insulated.
Oh,
with,
yeah.
With power sources all around it and like subtle LEDs and a table, a proper desk.
What van is it?
Sprinter.
Ah.
It's really
high roof.
Yeah. Ooh. I had real van envy.
Yeah.
I thought if you and I had this damn van. I mean, mate, it's no Eagle Quest.
Has he had it built just to record his podcast?
Yeah.
Gosh darn it.
I know. And he's having one or had one made in the States, identical. And
what?
He's gonna tour the States doing a podcast recording.
I wasn't familiar with that. Podcast.
Yeah,
what's the guy's name? Ben.
Benedict. Yeah, Ben Fowler. He's a really good interviewer. I really like him.
What's his line of work apart from podcasting?
He has several lines of work. He owns a fishing lake. He owns a. Yeah.
I know someone who owns a fishing lake, and I don't think it buys you global van strategies like that.
No, he's invested. He's a young guy. He's invested in about three different businesses. Businesses. And. And he's got some very nice cars, actually. Got some very, very nice cars. But yeah, he's really taking the podcast game seriously.
Yeah.
Unlike some people.
I was going to say, I feel like maybe we should pivot towards motivational, you know, sort of life coachy, whatever you would call it. You know, secrets of success.
See, I had the same feeling. I felt like...
Maybe we should call it secrets of failure. We'll just interview people who've had everything's gone wrong. Where did it all go
we
wrong?
We rock up in an Eagle Quest full of egg boxes.
Yes.
Come on in.
It does smell a bit damp. We keep meaning to buy a con bomb, but, you know, it's fine. Or we did get a con bomb, but it was a glitter one.
Sit down there. We've bought a load of Boots meal deals. Pick whatever one you want.
Yes. We say bought a couple of weeks ago, but just whichever one doesn't smell, that'll be fine. I'd go with the egg.
Simply fine. And I very much enjoyed doing
that. Yeah, well, I thought that's very big business now, isn't it? The sort of secrets of success type podcasts where people talk about how they got where they are. Because
I think people just want to know the journey of business journey.
Yeah. Business journey. Well, that's what we'll do that.
Do you know, that's another good name for an MPV that no one's ever called.
The Journey.
Business Journey?
Oh, there was a Dodge Journey, wasn't there?
Or was there a Dodge Journey?
Yeah. Yes. But named after the band.
Oh, of course.
Don't stop believing in the Dodge Journey.
Do you know, that reminds me, someone the other day messaged and said, I've just bought a Golf Rolling Stone.
What?
And I went, have you? And I said, what was the last time you heard about the Golf Rolling Stone?
Now, in this country?
In this country.
Oh, crikey. That was a Mark III, wasn't
Mark
it?
Mark III, yeah. There was shit era.
There was also a Bon Jovi.
There was.
Was there another one?
In Germany, I think there was another edition.
Genesis.
Was it Genesis?
I think Genesis did one, yeah.
They did the Polo Genesis.
Oh, yeah, but
wasn't the band. I don't know if that was affiliated with the band. Because my neighbour had a Polo Genesis when they were new, and I thought it was Ace.
That was the Mark...
Three. I think three, yeah, basically.
Is it? Do they call it Mark III? Yeah, I suppose they do that. No.
Wait. No, Mark Facelifted 2.
Mark II, yeah. Facelifted. Two and a half, maybe they call it now.
Yeah.
But they
still got CAC brakes.
Yes.
But a very good-looking car. So the Genesis, I think you're right about the Genesis. I mean, I don't know if they're collectible. Does anyone want a Bon Jovi Golf? Does Bon Jovi want a Bon Jovi
Golf? Oh, he's hoarding them. John Bon Jovi, yeah. John Bovine.
John Bovine. Yeah, he's... It does make me think, can you imagine if Mick Jagger owns all of the Rolling Stones golf, and he gets bored and he just has eBay searches saved.
Yeah.
Anything comes up on any of the platforms, it's like, just buy it, wherever it is in the world, stick it on the ship.
If you're watching the Rolling Stones playing Shea Stadium, and Mick suddenly cuts short a song and runs off. He's like, we're all right. It's because an eBay auction has just come to an end. In 5 minutes.
I'm ever so sorry, but in 30 seconds, this one ends in Lithuania.
And he's off and he's there and he's going, because he's got the resources to buy.
Completely. He could fill rooms of them.
Mm.
And then at some point, he'll be less secretive about what he's up to and he'll let someone in, possibly me, doing a car cave, and I'll go, so what cars have you got? Well, glad you've asked. I've actually got 75 Golf Rolling Stones.
What did Mick Jagger did have an interesting car? Was it a DS or something he's got?
He's had, of
course. Or is it Keith Richards and a DS?
I'm trying to think which one's had a DS. I think it might be Richards.
Yeah, I think it's Richards.
Mick's had numerous cars. He had a Ford Galaxy convertible, you know, in the 60s, when they were new.
In the 60s.
So, of course, things were very different in the 60s.
Well,
everybody had bad teeth.
Yes.
And there were lots of indoor smoking.
We should wrap this up, but I was going to read out some of the many, 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 many messages we've had about school coaches.
I knew we would have to talk about it. I forgot.
And haven't got around to it. I think, well, now, the next time we're together, we will be in the same room again, but we'll be in a theatre in Glasgow.
Should we talk about coach drivers?
I will try and remember to print out some of the coach driver messages. We've had so many. Thank you to everybody who sent us a message, recollections of coach journeys. There have been some absolute doozies. I won't get into it now.
Because,
to be perfectly honest, I haven't been organised enough.
Although someone messaged me, I forget who they are, and they said, I can't believe, Johnny, that you talked about coach drivers on a car-based podcast and you didn't mention Gwyndaf Evans.
Oh,
ex-rally
driver,
ex-rally hero, who was a coach driver by day. And there's an amazing old video on YouTube of him doing the school run.
Really?
And I think he has grey slip-on shoes on.
Oh,
and he's dropping all the kids off and being interviewed periodically during the course of his average day.
Yeah.
Whilst embarking on this campaign, it might have been in a Sierra Cosworth. Might have been in a Ford Sierra Cosworth, embarking on his world rally journey. But he's just Gwyndaf, the coach driver from North Wales.
That's so cool.
Very, very cool. For patrons, I'll find the link.
Yeah, we'll put a link up for patrons. Also, patrons, hopefully you can see this on video if this has worked. Everybody else...
Screw you guys, we're going.
I forgot to prepare for the end of the show again because I was so busy trying to remember the microphone, I forgot to write anything else down. So three things are that Johnny has a solo YouTube channel that is actually called The Late Break Show.
Yeah.
It's got lots of extra videos on there.
Yeah, you're going to ask me what.
You can't remember, can you? Where are you looking it up on LinkedIn?
No, I'm looking at. Oh, I know.
You've got a very colour coded diary there.
Yeah, it's an update on the Austin Allegro.
Oh, excellent.
Sweet. I'm pretty sure it's that, and then there'll be an embargo that lifts probably the day of this podcast going live on Monday for the Renault 5.
Oh,
the new Renault 5 Walkaround, yes, which I highly recommend you watch. But don't watch anybody else's, just watch mine.
No, just
everyone
watch
else's is probably a bit shit.
that's good.
No offence.
I want this can be a thing now. I want you to trash talk other YouTubers.
No, I'm not
going to
do that. I'm not going into that.
Johnny's slightly rude about Matt Armstrong's tattoos.
No, I'm not going to do that. Come on.
So the second thing I have to say is that I have a book out. It's called Boring Car Trivia 4. Please go and buy it. And also, please, if you like it and you've bought it through Amazon, leave a nice review.
Yeah.
because that's a good thing to do. But also, if you want to review this podcast and you've got nice things to say, then please do that. If you have nasty things to say, please keep them to yourself.
Well, or write nasty things but put a 5-star review. Just yes. Any Fox people.
Yes, that's always a good one. And the third thing I've got to tell you is that I was watching this documentary about Peep Show. Well, actually, it wasn't. It was a talk. They did a talk at the BFI. Some of the cast and the writers of Peep Show, because it was sort of 20 years, I think, since it started. And one of the stories they told is that Channel 4 only paid for them to shoot half of a pilot episode to see whether they liked it. Yeah, half, so only 15 minutes. And then they decided that they did like it, and they said, well, we think we like it. Could you shoot the other half of the pilot script, please? And they went back to the flat that they'd rented in Croydon, where they'd shot, because it wasn't done on a set originally, it was done in a real flat.
Yeah.
And the owner of the flat had used the money they'd been paid to rent it for a TV production to redo the kitchen, which completely frigged the continuity of the pilot. So the kitchen changed halfway through.
Petard. I love these. I've got nothing to add. I've just looked and just thought.
It's okay. You don't.
Someone said to me that spolt. You know, we say spolt.
Yes.
Which we haven't said for a couple of
casts.
Apparently, I don't believe this. I've tried to look it up, and I haven't got this confirmed at all.
Mm.
Apparently, it means quiet in Polish.
Oh.
But I don't think it does. So, can someone confirm with me?
Yeah. Anyone in Poland speak Polish?
Spolt.
We were sent that Spolt Avenue in Llanelli, but there's also one in Scotland.
Yes!
Sadly, not near where we're going in a couple of days. But someone also... Oh, sorry, I built this up. Someone, our regular correspondent and patron, Bindu Kellings, was the one who pointed out there's also one in Australia.
Is there?
Yeah.
Can we get some people visiting them?
Yeah, we will. There'll be, I don't know, we'll think of some kind of prize or reward for photographing yourself with a Spolt Avenue or similar sign, and particularly extra points if you do it in a Range Rover Spolt or
Spowets.
Any other car.
And I have to apologise to you for the fact that the other week when I was driving to North Wales on a quick shoot. And I was looking for somewhere to quickly grab something to eat for lunch. I went through a very lonely village.
Mm.
There was a closed pub on the right. Mm. And there was a full BTCC replica Mondeo on its own in the car park.
What?
You know the blue and the yellow livery?
Yeah.
Master Fit or whatever it was? Livery, it might be.
Yes.
It was just there. I didn't pull over because I needed a wee and I was really hungry. I was going to take a photograph and go, this is brilliant. It's in the middle of nowhere. It's near Welshpool. If anyone knows anything about that pub or the car, let me know.
Mm.
I'll try and find it. If it's been there for years, I'll find it.
It'll be on Google Maps.
Google Maps.
Yeah. Oh,
it's near Welshpool. It's a lonely village.
Right. Well, that's that for this. Look forward to seeing some of you near Glasgow on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Everybody else will organise some more live dates very soon.
Yeah.
But for now, thank you everyone.
Thanks for listening. Thanks and all that.
Yes. Goodbye.
Thanks, mate. Cheers, mate. Bye. Mugs, t-shirts, stickers. Mugs, t-shirts, stickers. Mugs, t-shirts, stickers. And now we do hats too. They're very stylish. This may come as a surprise. But Smith and Sniff have merchandise. You won't believe your eyes. Smith and Sniff have merchandise. Sadly, we don't do pies. But Smith and Sniff have merchandise. One day we might sell ties. Smith and Sniff have merchandise. Sending me slow motion images of swans landing on lakes. with the neck, the neck movement, and also the angle of the wings. It's fascinating the way the legs come out. It's really cool.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.